You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Live from the BFM CD cupboard, we have the lead singer from the R&B / Neo Soul / Neo Jazz band, Psycho Gab. They've just released a new track called Compass, which is currently charting on our top 11 chart as of this morning. It's at Rima 5. We'll see where it goes next week. Good morning to you, Rosetta Stone. How are you, man?
Morena, hoa, I'm good. How are you?
I am going really, really, really well here. I did have a little panic attack there because I saw on Zoom, I thought it said my mic was muted. So I was like, how are you hearing me? But no, we're all good. Technical difficulties aren't here. You just had your breakfast program on the BFM station. How was that?
It was good. It was fun. We have such a fun time doing brekkie, Millie and I. So I'm currently shut myself in the BFM CD cupboard to put on my other hat. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling good.
And we'll get into all those hats that you wear in just a second. But I want to talk about your name because you have the greatest name in the game. Rosetta Stone, man. It's a one in a million chance of having that name. You know, if you have children, are you thinking of giving them a similar name, like Rolling Stone, perhaps?
You know, I haven't thought of it other than the fact that if I ever get married, I'm sure as hell not ever going to change my last name. I don't know. If I have kids, I'll have to think of something good. My parents really, pulled out all the stops with their kids' names. My brother's name is Jasper, which is a type of stone.
Uh-huh.
And then sort of the rogue one was my eldest brother is Augustus, named after Augustus Pablo. Which is kind of hilarious because he's also the widest man you'll ever see in your life. But my dad loves the old dub.
I was going to say that's a dub guy, right? Augustus Pablo. Yeah. That's crack up. Well, I think you've got so much potential there with that last name. I mean, my last name's Hoffman, but I wouldn't call my kid Dustin or Philip Seymour. I feel like that's not as cool as Rosetta Stone. Anyway, let's get into all those hats that you wear because you work at Flying Out Record Store. You used to do PR at Knick Knack Media. You're a BFM breakfast host. You're heavily involved with To The Front. Now, in all these capacities, you're supporting...
Oh my God, have you been stalking me on LinkedIn?
No, I haven't. I have not. In all these capacities, you're supporting New Zealand music, the alternative music community. That seems like a massive through line in kind of all your efforts, all your mahi. You know, when did supporting that community and getting involved in it become something that you wanted to chase?
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks, first of all. I don't know. I guess I just knew that music was where I wanted to be. And I feel as though there's a lot of discourse amongst musicians and artists wondering where the sort of support for New Zealand music is. And I just felt like, there's a lot of barriers for entry, but there's also a lot of amazing stuff out there. And the best way to get people, you know, invested in you and what you want to do and the difference that you want to make, whether that's making music or uplifting other people's music, is to just get involved in the community. So I try and be as much of a supporter of music as I am a maker of music. Because, I mean, isn't music just the best thing ever? Why wouldn't we try and support it in all ways possible?
No offense to people who don't get anything from music, but, who hurt you?
What the hell?
You know, it's kind of cooked.
Literally. I feel that deeply.
It's cooked, man. It's so weird. I was reading through the comments on this new video for Compass, and I saw that some people were pointing out that they heard you on 7 Sharp. Was it this song that was on 7 Sharp specifically?
Yeah, it was crazy. And the really funny thing is, speaking of BFM, is that Millie and I, for Halloween, dressed up as
Jeremy Wells and Mikey Havoc.
And Mikey Havoc, Newsboy and Havo. And then Jeremy Wells hosts 7 Sharp. And I actually haven't met him properly in person yet, but I wonder if he made the connection that the chick who was on TV that he was introducing was also the one who dressed up as him for some creep. But it was really exciting. And all props for that go to the wonderful people supporting us. So New Zealand On Air for giving us some putia to make this track possible. And then the team at Knick Knack is so supportive. and have really helped us on the PR front. So it was just like a dream. We were on TV and we just couldn't quite believe it.
Mm, that's so dope. And, you know, big ups to you for getting on there, but big ups to the producers of Seven Sharp for getting rid of Mike Hosking. Yeah, massive ups for them for doing that and relegating him to the conservative media sphere in New Zealand. now, one thing I want to know about this new video is, did Quentin Tarantino direct it?
No. Okay. Are you talking about the feet?
Yeah.
That's really funny. There's no gross foot fetish thing going on here, Zach.
I know, I'm just being silly. I'm just being really silly. It's the first I've seen in a while when no one's wearing shoes. I was like, what the hell?
Well, yeah, we didn't really plan. We sort of planned what we were going to wear in terms of the suits, and then we didn't really plan much in terms of footwear, and then we quite like to have an element of quirk. So, like, last time we did a bunch of our, like, the first time we did all of our press photos, we went to the beach and we all wore big jackets, and then we all wore sort of big sunglasses and headscarves, and went sort of grand, like, you know, like luxurious Italian grandma style. Mm. And then the video, we decided we were going to wear suits, and then I had this makeup of this red lipstick and bright blue eyeshadow, which we then put on the guys for a certain scene where we're smushing our faces against the glass. And so we were just sort of like, how can we make this a little bit more absurd? And then it was like, okay, no one wear shoes.
Time to bust out the dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crack up, man. Talking about the video, it's shot on Super 8 film, which gives it a very vintagey, fuzzy feeling. Now, film is famously very, very finicky, and you guys had to develop the film in Australia. You had to send it to Australia, which is crazy. So this video was a bit of a one-trick pony. You know, you couldn't really redo shots. Were people very stressy about that on the day, or were they relatively chill?
Yeah, definitely. I think this whole process of, as much as the New Zealand On Air funding has been amazing in terms of like giving us these resources, it's also like, okay, there's a lot at stake now, and there's a lot of, you know, budgeting that you have to do, and it puts in, you know, you have to put in quite a lot of work to make it all happen. And so I think that tested our relationships with one another in lots of new ways, but also was a really exciting reminder and made it all the more rewarding at the other end. And the film was a really fun thing because it was a little stressful in the moment of sort of feeling like, okay, we only have one shot for this. But then at the end of the day, like the film footage that we got developed, you know, there were moments where people were giggling or everyone started cracking up, and those candid little bits made it into the final video. And it felt like it captured the sort of ethos of the band of, you know, we try and be as hands-on as possible with it, and we're making this music that, you know, historically, like jazz and soul music, captures all of those beautiful imperfections and feels really human and isn't supposed to be extremely polished. And so having a video that sort of matches that and matches a lot of the like warm analog sort of sonic textures with the visual element felt fitting and also nice, because there's so much in this day and age about music making that feels based around speed and output and slop. And so
I love that word so much.
Yeah, the slop, eh? It's everywhere. It's hard to escape.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to make something that felt really human.
Mm. One particular detail I like about the video, I mean, everyone's wearing great fits, but you're like the brown suit, man. I need to find one. I've been wanting to find one for years. You need to tell me your tailor, because I need to find one.
I got that jacket. It's like a brown corduroy jacket from an op shop. I can't even remember where. I got it ages ago, and I definitely don't wear it enough. But I decided to bust it out, and then the pants I bought for the video, they're actually just black sort of like business slacks that I got from, I think, like a Save Mart up here. So I'm pretty sure we got most of the clothes in that video just from our own wardrobes or from op shops.
True.
Yeah.
Empty Spaces, the alternative music blog, said that Compass offers listeners a place to rest inside their own questions. It's kind of an airy fairy thing to say. But what are some of the questions that you rest inside when you're listening to the song?
There's a lot in there in terms of the lyrics. I guess I wrote it when I was questioning a lot of things about personal relationships, but also just being at a stage in your life in your early 20s when you're, and as a woman, when you're trying to navigate a lot about your own femininity and sensuality and gender, whilst also, you know, nurturing that sense of self and allowing yourself to discover all of the ins and outs of that in a way that isn't going to jeopardize your relationships and the other people around you. And so there's a lot in terms of navigating self versus like community and turning inward and being introspective without shutting other people out. And I also realized when I listen back to it now, as much as in my personal life I might have come to answers about a lot of those questions, the song doesn't really come to any
conclusions,
because I don't think I'd made any conclusions at the time. And but I also quite like that of like, it's, yeah, I guess the way that Empty Spaces put it is really lovely, because I hope that it is just a chance for people to reflect rather than think that there has to be a solution or an answer.
Completely.
Yeah.
Not that I want to tease an answer out, but the vibe I sort of got from the story of the song was almost about being weary about someone's intention in a romantic sense. You know, someone might try to be your compass, but they're actually not taking you where you want to be. There's that line, "What the hand is heavy that holds mine." Is that an element of the story, or am I just reading into things?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. I mean, I guess it's sort of like feeling as though you're in a partnership or in a relationship, and I don't know if it's, I don't know. I guess there's a lot that's sort of like, there's a lot that relates to the specific situation that I was in at the time, but also just like broader reflections on relationships and on like relationship dynamics, and then even on broader things like femininity and like the patriarchy. So there's a lot that sort of relates to personal experiences, but also a broader sort of like, I don't know, societal commentary maybe. I try and write stuff that feels true to my personal experience but also relatable to a wide breadth of experiences.
Fair enough. Is this going to be from a project coming out later this year? Can we expect to see a Psycho Gab EP or album potentially?
We're writing lots of stuff and we're recording all the time. I guess because we rushed out this EP in 2024, which we were really, really proud of, and then became able to start applying for funding and stuff, and then we got the single funding, which kind of kept the momentum going, which we're really grateful for. But there isn't set in stone plans for an album. I think we're definitely working towards the next project and writing lots, but I think at the moment we're just allowing it to come as it happens, because obviously we're all really busy in lots of other projects and stuff, and things happening outside of the band. So yeah, I don't have a straight answer for that, but we are making lots of music all the time.
Well, cool. Hopefully things can chill out and we can expect to see an EP maybe at the end of the year or the start of next year. It'd be really, really awesome to see that. Thank you so much for your time and coming on the program and taking a lot of time out of your very, very busy schedule. Do you have any final thoughts, words, reflections, opinions to leave our lovely listeners with?
Just thank you for having me. It's so nice to chat with you about this as well as everything else that we chatted about. But yeah, I don't know, just huge thank you to everyone. Thanks to everyone who voted for the Radio 1 Top 11. I can't believe we're on it already. That's so awesome. And thanks to NZ On Air and everyone who helped us make the song and the video. It feels like a really exciting fruit of a lot of collaborative hard work.
I think you can hear that in just how lush this song is. I mean, in particular, like the very end, all the builds, the rises, you know, lots to chew on.
Aw, thank you, Ikare.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming on, Rosetta. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Alrighty, that was Rosetta Stone from Psycho Gab. We're talking to her about their new track, Compass, which is currently at Rima 5 on our Top 11 Countdown. If you didn't hear it then, let's hear it now. Here's Psycho Gab with Compass. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. Thank you.
you a body that I'm not living in. The oven light is broken. The petals have been picked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.